the Upside Down Rock Show with me, Doris Brendel, on Hard Rock Hell Radio. Come and join me. So you're no good for me, and I'm nowhere to be true. Start to the Upside Down Show. Thank you for joining me. That was a band from Dallas, Texas called Cantervice with a track called Doomsday, bracket acoustic. I often prefer the acoustic versions of some of these songs. I thought that was really lovely. They describe themselves as an electronic rock, obviously not for that track. Anyway, what are we doing today? I'm not doing Christmas today. I will be doing a Christmas special next week. Lots of Christmas songs, and I'm going to find some Christmas jokes and stories and things. But this week, I thought we'll do another song time back from the lockdown files. this time, we're doing one of my favourite tracks called Act of Defiance. Here's Lee Dunham.
Let's do song time. Do 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 with song time
with Lee and Doss. Do 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 do. And there it is. But we're still on Upside Down World.
Yes.
And another of the songs on there that we play live. In fact, this is one of my favourite tracks to play live. Is A Little Act of Defiance.
It's a good one, that one. I like that song a lot.
It's edgy as fuck. It's really, really edgy. It's really moody. It's possibly a little heavy for some of the audiences, which is a shame.
Yeah, I think it's a little heavy.
But I love that track because it's got light and dark. And when the heavy bit comes in on verse two, it's like, ooh, it's like one of those ooh moments.
Absolutely.
It's just great. But then it's also got the sort of cello bit beforehand, and it's just really, really moody. And I think the heavy riff when it comes in is fantastic. But yeah. Modern in a funny sort of way. It's not.
It is sort of modern, yeah. See, I like the feel of that song very much.
Me too.
Like the vibe of it has got it going on, and I really enjoyed it. I chose, as bass players go, Steve's pretty much a a metal rock drummer, so I didn't have any problem with the drums. The actual bass player I was worried about, because Sparky's quite funky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I
yeah.
thought to myself, I'm not quite sure he's going to get the moodiness of the song, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, perhaps not. And then I spoke to my brother about it, and he plays bass, and I got... he came round and we had a little go with him playing on it. And then he decided, you know, the tappy bit at the end, the really fast
tappy
part.
Love that bit. Very musy, yes.
Very musy. Well, that was his idea. He was like, I want to play some tapping on my bass. And I was like, what? And he was
really?
Like, I want to play tapping on my bass. And I was like, oh, no, that's not going to work. And he was like, it will work, it will. So I just went, oh, well, whatever. And I walked off and I went downstairs and made myself something to eat. And then I came back up and he'd recorded this part, which went across the chord sequence at the end on the bass. And I was like, actually, that really does work really well. Except the trouble is that when you're tapping on bass, obviously the strings are massive. So I don't know if anyone doesn't know what tapping is. It's where you're with your right hand on a guitar, you're hitting the strings on the fretboard and moving your left hand as well. So the bass guitar's massive and the strings are really big. And so he was struggling with the speed of it, of trying to get the tapping right. And obviously I didn't want to alter it in any way. So I was saying to him, let's just keep trying it until you get it really clean, because it kept sort of getting other strings coming out.
Yeah, or buzzing a bit. Or,
So we literally did it from about 3 o'clock in the afternoon until about 12 o'clock at night.
Wow, really?
Trying to get that, trying to get it as clean as possible. Yeah, on. There was lots of other problems as well. I think it was. I think we had a bit of a problem with his bass and etc. Trying to get it to sound as good as it could as well. But we did it for ages anyway. In the morning, because he went home. In the morning, he woke up and he said, "I said, why aren't you?" Because obviously he's got a job. And I said, "So why aren't you at work?" He said, "I've had to take the day off. I'm in hospital."
What?
And I said, "Why?" He said, I can't move my wrist."
Wow.
And I said, "Why?" He said, I think it was playing that thing yesterday. For that long amount of time, I've actually hurt my wrist." And I said, "What do you mean you hurt?" He said, "I don't know. I've got to go into theatre now." So they went for an X-ray, now.
Yeah.
So he went into the hospital and came out with an X-ray, and he'd actually broken a bone in his wrist.
No, really?
Honestly, I'm not joking. He broke a bone, fractured a bone in his wrist by playing that bass, that bass tapping.
Wow.
I said to him, "I can't believe that." And he said, "I know." He was really worried about it. He had to wear a splint in his arm for about a month, it was, with him. He couldn't do anything. He was worried about it because obviously he couldn't go to work.
Killer bass line, though.
But it's a brilliant bass line. I'll say to anyone who ever hears it, the bass line at the end of that, my bass player broke his wrist doing that.
Yeah. But you know, because he did Adored as well, and those two bass lines are fantastic on that album.
The grass was never green. Why can't we agree to ignore that?
That was Black Briar with Bluebeard's Chamber. They're a Dutch symphonic gothic metal band. And the track before, yeah, it was a bit heavy. It's The Devil Wears Prada from Ohio, Where the Flowers Never Grow. It's, again, it's one of those tracks where it's really great, but then they have to do this shouty thing, which I still don't understand why bands have to do. You don't have to do that. And it's such a shame because sometimes if there's just a little bit too much of that, I just won't play it because I just think, no, it's just too shouty. So for anyone like me who doesn't like that, I apologise for that. But then the rest of the track is really, really great. And apparently the band made it really big on the metalcore Christian music scene. And they seem very angry for a bunch of Christians, don't they? Is that just me or should you be all sort of nice and I don't know, obviously missing the point somewhere along the line. Maybe they're angry at all the people that aren't Christians. I don't know. While I remember, this week, well, today, in fact, we're releasing our, when I say we, that's myself and Lee Dunham, a live acoustic album called Live Acoustic Volume 1, because, yes, there will be a Volume 2. Basically, we've done quite a lot of acoustic gigs, but we've never recorded it. And we thought for those people who actually want that recorded, we're going to do it. It's a website only release. So you won't find it on any download sites or anything. It's literally just on my website. And we've done it. So we've done it, no overdubs and things. So it's really, really live, though we've recorded it in the studio, but it's done in a live way. So that is out right now. And last week, on Friday mostly, everything was sent out, so people will hopefully be getting those sometime this week. It's very exciting, and I will be playing one of those acoustic tracks a bit later in the show. But first, let's go back to a little act of defiance. Those two bass lines are just the bollocks. They really
they are.
Yeah. And that's, you know, both Huggy and
Sparky.
And Sparky are great players, but
yeah.
And the funny thing is, because we've used Chris live on occasion, and he's very hit and miss live. He's quite, you know, he makes mistakes and things like that. And so I wasn't really expecting him to be that good in the studio, but he really shines in the studio. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's got lots of ideas. He's very it just sort of comes out of him. I think he's, because it's not under pressure. I know some people find being in the studio under pressure, but you know, when you're just,
you got time.
Yeah, when you've got lots of time and it's not under, in that sort of scenario, when it comes to ideas.
Yeah.
He's got loads of them.
Yeah,
he's
very creative. Really creative.
Yes, very creative, yeah.
So I was surprised because I've obviously not hadn't heard him in that capacity. But no. I mean, those two bass lines are just phenomenal. So good. Yeah.
Yeah, they are very, very good. Yeah, no, absolutely. But going back to the song, because it was your lyrics that did the that wrote the song first, wasn't it? It was all on piano at the beginning, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I just wrote it on piano. So that line, is the piano bit.
That's it, yeah.
So you just basically followed the piano.
I followed that, yeah, I remember. Yeah, that, because that, I mean, that's the riff. That's the big riff, and I can feel it being brought up in tension with me copying it as well, so that everyone's sort of copying it. That part.
Yeah.
Where it builds in its tension.
Yeah. And then, because the first verse is just the piano doing that.
Yeah.
And a cello, which is lovely. So it's really nice. So it's and it literally just does that for the whole first verse and chorus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
before it doesn't need the whole band else, comes in.
That's
no,
right.
And then the band plays that riff, but it's great when it does, and the drum beat as well is really really good, and it just suddenly it's like the rocket lifts off. It's like wow.
Yeah, it doesn't need a. It didn't need a solo. I remember that. It hasn't got a solo in it, even because I was tempted to put a solo over the middle eight part.
No, because you got the bass thing. You got that musy bass tapping thing going on at the end.
Yeah. At the end, that brings it all out again, doesn't it? But even then, because it's a middle part where it goes down, 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 and it's just the chords changing. But I thought the chords are interesting themselves on that middle eight part.
Well, I did that. That was on the piano. I did that.
That's
on the
right.
Piano.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're great. That. They're great. Great chords, and just let them ring out. Just let the guitar play that too. And I think I'll let the drums play it with some stabs here and there.
Syncopated in places.
To make it all play together.
But I love playing that track live. I think it works so well live, and it's visually great because you've got the cello in it, and then it changes, and then you've got the heavy bit. The only sad thing is that some of the audiences, like Wishbone Ash audiences, is probably a little bit too in your face.
I think it is a bit
for
heavy.
Some of them. Yeah.
I agree.
Time creeps right up, don't it? die, took one look at me, bought the hammer down. No one tried to take the time to investigate the crime. I was there and I looked the part, so they sent me to the mines. Some years ago it was decreed to send prisoners into space. Out of sight and out of mind, no mingling with the earth. There we'd have to mine the moons and work away our crimes. No parole and no appeal, just toil and do your time. But I swear, it wasn't me. Why won't you listen to my plea? Languishing in the space mines, it's something I haven't done. In 20 years I can clear my name, 20 more years and I get to come home. How can I prove my innocence when I can't even make a call? I'm cut off from society, my back's against the wall. I'd have to wait till I come home to launch a fresh appeal. Find out who the boss I'm was, who did the crime for real. And I swear, it wasn't me. Why won't you listen to my plea? Languishing in the space mines, something I haven't done. 20 years I've cleared my name, 20 more years and I get to come home. Take it away on the guitar.
Thank you.
So that was Brent Cobb and the Fixins. Ain't Rocked in a While. They're from Georgia, and lovely bit of southern rock. Yes, I'm sure you recognised my voice. That was from the new live acoustic album, Volume 1, 20 Years, with an amazing 12-string guitar solo from Lee. And the one you just heard, a very long track, of course, from Dream Theater, Bend the Clock. I thought that was a really nice track. I don't always like everything Dream Theater do. Sometimes it's just a bit too, I don't know, performative, I think is the right word. But I really like that track. I thought it was a good one. Right, without further ado, let's get back to chatting about the track.
Yeah, it's quite a heavy. I think there's some double kick drum parts. Anything we basically that you can play double kick drums on.
But it's a definite heavy. For the next couple of festivals we're going to do. I think it's definitely include that one. Yeah,
being there. Yeah, if it's a rock festival and stuff, I think we get away.
Yeah, well, HRH and Cambridge, we can. You know that fits in perfectly.
Pop them in. Yeah. Do you want to give us the lyrics for it? We've got enough time for some lyrics or not?
There's not a lot of lyrics going on. I'd have to hang on.
See if you've got the lyrics for them. If you.
The good new song lyrics. What album are we?
I know for a fact it starts with I. So something about you.
I've done what you say. I've done what you do, said what you say, a willing follower. But I have lost myself along the way, and now a little act of defiance. I tried to pretend to see what you see, but enough is enough, and now to assert myself in some small way. So here's a little act of defiance, and I just won't do it for you. That's all the lyrics in there.
So when you wrote that,
yeah,
what were you thinking about when you wrote that song? What was that song about?
Do you know what? It I like the idea of little act of defiance has sort of happened. And then it's me thinking, what is a little act of defiance? And a little act of defiance is almost something you do in fear. It's something you do because you're too scared to do something big. So it's an act of defiance. Funny enough, I always think of you know, in a lot of Middle Eastern countries, they use their sandals to slap you.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it's a sort of, you know, it's not blowing people up or stoning people. It's not like a big thing of anger. It's a.
Just a little act of defiance, isn't it?
But it speaks volumes. So I was kind of thinking an act of defiance is not. It's not a big walking away. It's not a courageous. It is a courageous thing, but it's only courageous because anything bigger would have consequences.
Yeah.
When you think about what a little act of defiance is. So I've done it in the sense of, you know, I've done what you do. I've said what you say, a willing follower. But now I've got to do something to say that I'm not happy with this situation, but I haven't got the courage to do anything big. So I've kept it. It's very, you know, I don't say what the act of defiance is.
No.
So it's more the intention. The song is about the intention of coming to a point where you've had enough and you know you've got to do something.
Yeah. See, I always thought that song.
Yeah.
If I could interpret that song with just the little lyrics that you just read there, I always thought it was about religion. I thought it was about trying to lose religion.
That's interesting.
Say, I will follow the light.
So I thought I'd better play the track we've been discussing. Yeah, that was a little act of defiance, myself and Lee Dunham. And the one you just heard, Puppet Master from Lili Löwe, I presume it's how it's pronounced. It's got a German name, but they're from Norway, apparently. Melodic hard rock with a very nice, catchy tune. By the way, if you like the acoustic track and you would like to get that album, it'll still get there before Christmas if you're quick about it. But it's on my website, joycebrand.com, just if you fancy it. Now we're going to go back to the last part of talking about A Little Act of Defiance. A lot of people stick to the obvious stuff.
Yeah.
You know, my favourites are rarely most people's favourites, just one or two people. But, for example, with Mass Hysteria, the most picked song is...
It Takes One to Know One.
Takes One to Know One, thank you very much, though, yes, that one. And it's the rock song, isn't it? It's the rock song.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I play that album to anyone, I haven't got a problem with starting off with that song first. It is that song that makes it go, yeah, that's a good song. It is a good song.
It sounds really good. It's got a great sound to it, but it is also more predictable.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a rock song, like you say. Yeah. Definitely a rock song. Yeah. While we're here, then, and you have access to... So what was the most sort of asked for song from... Because we've done two albums now, haven't we? We haven't gone over what song was most asked for from Not Utopia. Have you got access to that?
Hang on, I'd have to look. I'm sure I will remember. Funny enough, with Not Utopia...
Yeah?
It was Going Out.
Oh, was it? That's interesting, isn't it? So Going Out was quite a poppy one, wasn't it?
Yes. And Kind to Be Cruel, but I think that's partly because so many people were involved in that one.
Right.
You know, because we were the video and stuff. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, Going Out was really, really popular.
Okay. That's interesting. Again, that was an easy song, though. It's an easy listening song, isn't it?
Yes. Easy listening song. Yeah, yeah.
Easy listening song. So,
I had to check that. With Upside Down World, it was Devil.
Was it? Again, another just bog standard, almost AC/DC sort of rock song, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. And with this this album, it is...
And with Eclectica, it was Crying Shame.
Crying Shame. So that's like a blues-orientated song.
Yeah. Really simple. Yeah. Crying Shame was the most picked track from that album.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you listeners that are listening liked all those songs.
No, but I mean, the thing is, that's when people go, I get to pick one free track. Which one do I want?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, which one shall I have? Yeah, of course.
And I mean, every track has been picked by someone, but by far the most people pick those tracks.
Yeah.
On first listen. So
I do like Crying Shame. Crying Shame is a song's good song. I like that.
That's it for this week. That's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining me. As I say, next week is going to be a Christmas special with I try and stay away from cheesy stuff. So it's going to be sort of rocky and some funny and just some fun Christmas songs to get you in the mood, I hope. And I certainly hope you will join me for that. We've got time for one last song. I'm going to leave you with a Wukan, Fountain of Youth. They're a band from Dresden, Germany, sort of prog, folk, heavy rock, but with slightly R&B singing, which I thought was really interesting. See you again next week. Bye.
Seasons change so fast. Weren't we all just birthed? Now begging for a shoulder to part. No storm casts first. Hands divided in vain.
you.